Good morning, I'm Anna Palmer.
And I'm Jake Sherman.
And welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punchbowl News. It's Friday, March 8th, 2024. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, President Joe Biden headed to the Capitol for State of the Union. Number two, TikTok's big problems. And number three, border politics. All right, Jake, let's get into it. All eyes were on the Capitol, where we spend most of our time with President Joe Biden, showing a feisty side to his return to the Capitol and State of the Union, kind of trying to buck some of the frustration that his team has had, that, you know, in terms of just the onslaught of attacks of his mental acuity and vigor. We saw a very vigorous Joe Biden last night.
We did. And so did 30 million Americans who watched this, which was, or actually, I don't know if it's 30 million. We'll have to see. It's 5 o'clock, Anna. I didn't get home until about, let's call it 11:45-ish. So I'm feeling a little bit sluggish this morning, but happy to bear witness for the Punchbowl News readers. And can I just say one thing? I'm always amazed by how many people listen to this podcast. I get people coming up to me in the Capitol all the time, members of Congress, aides, and I say to them, like, what do you like so much about this thing? But I am very happy that everyone loves this because you and I like doing this. Okay.
We appreciate you, dear listener. Thank you so much.
Back to the news. We do appreciate you. We do appreciate you. And we're going on tour. We're doing Radio City. We're doing all these. Just kidding. Okay, listen. Anna, you probably watched on TV the State of the Union. I watched it from the chamber. You know, I oftentimes think that it's actually not a good use of my time to watch from the chamber, because 30 million Americans watch from home and, you know, only a couple thousand people watch from the chamber. And I sit behind the president, meaning not directly behind. I was sitting behind, kind of, if you're facing the president to the left, in the press gallery and the periodical press space. I thought he was feisty. I thought expectations, Anna, were pretty damn low, right? I mean, people thought, you know, people were talking about what happens if he trips or if he falls. I mean, that was not in the cards. I mean, he was on it. He took it to Republicans. I mean, from a policy perspective, you know, I don't think that this stuff has much impact in the immediate. But I do think that politically, if you think about it this way, and most people who are listening to this podcast and most of our readers are practitioners of politics, people who work in politics and members of Congress, or people who work around politics. We're not the audience here. Remember that in any way, shape, or form. If you tuned in last night and you are just a casual observer of politics, you are like, everyone's talking about this dude being like half dead, and he was pretty on it and pretty good and took it to Republicans. I mean, whether you agree with what we're not going to get into, you know, listen, Republicans disagree with most of it. Democrats agree with most of it, right? So I just think that on style and on substance, he talked about a lot of like 80-20 issues, credit card junk fees, lowering the cost of prescription drugs and all of those things. And I think that, like, don't discount that. It was an important moment for him that he took advantage of. And that's just the truth, Anna. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I agree with all of that. Listen, I think this was an important, campaign moment, right? For Joe Biden, there's been a lot of ads. There's been a lot of money.
It was a campaign moment. That's a good point.
By Republicans to kind of showcase the challenges that they think he has, that he's too old, and a lot of other things. And that's not what we saw. I think the other thing that is, I thought, really caught my attention was the fact that he led the address with Ukraine. That, you know, foreign policy is not typically the kind of starting point for State of the Union speeches. It's much more kind of laying out a domestic policy agenda, what they've accomplished, what they want, what the president then is trying to do going forward. This was clearly, kind of the state of democracy is in peril. And that was what he wanted to deliver at the top when the most people are watching, you know, this speech, right? And I think the other thing was, you know, a real full-throated blast at Republicans. And certainly he didn't use former President Donald Trump's name, but discussed his predecessor quite a bit. So I think Biden gets high marks on this from Democrats, certainly. And he did the job that he needed to do in the sense that it was a vigorous speech. He kind of sparred with Republicans again. He did that the last time he was in the chamber as well. And so does this impact, you know, his numbers in the sub 40s? I'm not quite sure there's the big bump or tail of this speech, but he certainly got the job done.
Yeah. And you said something, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to highlight one thing you said there, which is that this is a campaign speech. Like, let's not make anything else of it. You know, this is a campaign speech. He delivered it like it was a campaign address. And you know what? I had a Republican member text me last night, a member of the House. I walked out. It was too much of a campaign speech. I was like, listen, you know, you think, what did Donald Trump do? You think he was going deep on policy? I mean, give me a break. He was shouting out people in the audience. It's all politics. You and I say this a lot. Policy is never divorced from politics. And we are, what, like 8 months from an election? So the dude is going to talk, he's going to try to make a political point when he's got an audience of 30 million people. Whether you think that's a problem or not, if you disagree with him, you probably think it's a problem. Agree with you, gets high style points, talked about a lot of 80-20, 70-30, 60-40 issues. And I think that's what you kind of have to do if you're him.
All right, let's move on to the number two story of the morning, TikTok. We've got some news that House Democratic leaders are now expected to endorse the bipartisan bill to force ByteDance to sell TikTok. Man, another massive blow for the social media giant in advance of a floor vote next week. Of course, nothing is certain. This is probably going to have a lot more hurdles and won't be as easy potentially as leaders think it is, but the numbers are really stacking up against TikTok here.
Yeah, not good, Anna.
if you're TikTok, not good. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
Not good for TikTok. But let me just make this abundantly clear to people who are listening. I'd have to look back, and I haven't, and maybe I'll do this today. I'm not sure anything passes, or very few things pass the Energy and Commerce Committee at a 50-0 with a 50-0 vote. Like, we're talking about like almost nothing. Even the leadership was surprised, and Steve Scalise immediately, and remember, this is a House Republican leadership that could barely make a decision on whether they want like a sandwich for lunch or a salad, right? Like, this is a very indecisive leadership. Steve Scalise suggested right after the vote, or even it might have been even before the vote, he is putting this thing on the floor next week. And then they said next week that they're doing it. This is going to go, they're looking at a suspension vote, which required 2/3 majority. If you don't think TikTok is in trouble now, then I don't know what argument's going to persuade you. I don't know. I think if you extrapolate out from a 50-0 vote to the House floor, it ain't looking good. So I would be, if I were TikTok, I would be very nervous. And you know what they did yesterday? And it was actually kind of surprising to me. Got a significant amount of coverage. They had their creators call members of Congress on this, which I guess, I don't know whether that's good or not, but some of these creators were kids and they were like, I'm going to go crazy if you take away this app. And a couple members said to me, literally came up to me, were like, this seems like it's making the argument for the Chinese, like that people are addicted to this thing and we need to not have that happen. So I don't know. What do you think, Anna?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big problem for TikTok is, one, the speed with which this is moving through, which you know by the fact that Scalise is going to try to put this on the floor next week, right? Momentum is not in their favor because you have a vote that's 50-0. Colleagues on the right and the left are going to look around and say, wow, the committee of jurisdiction, there's literally zero issues in politics right now that almost every single Republican and Democrat on a committee agree on. So I think that is going to be tough for them. And I think the other thing, this of course is just one chamber, there's got to be the Senate, but this isn't just a problem for TikTok if it's, you know, Biden in the White House. If it's Trump in the White House, you have to remember, Trump signed an executive order in August 2020 banning TikTok unless it was sold to an American company. This wasn't enforced. There was a lot of legal, you know, kind of potential issues there. But this issue for TikTok is not, you know, okay, just get through the next couple of months, slow it down, and then we'll figure it out. This is much more of an existential issue because the politics have clearly turned against them in a way that I think it's probably hard to recover from completely. We'll have to see exactly how it happens. Of course, a lot of times things get hot in Washington and then, you know, time delays things. But right now, the speed with which the chamber is moving should be very concerning to TikTok.
And think of it. And, you know, I was talking to House Republican leadership staff yesterday. The reason they're going to the floor here is because they want to build off the momentum, as you correctly note. Like, going to the floor next week is like, okay, we've got this mo. We've got this wind behind our back. We got to move quickly. As the Grateful Dead said in Bertha, goodness, we've got to move, really have to move. But listen, Anna, you make an interesting point here on the long tail problems for TikTok, right? I mean, the long tail problems, this is not going away. And maybe there's an argument. I mean, let me put it this way. Opinions now are pretty well set. And give Kathy McMorris Rogers and Frank Pallone some credit here, and the China Committee, they had a classified briefing with the administration right before the markup, and people left and they're like, yeah, we're voting to get rid of this thing, to ban this. Yeah. So, you know, you're absolutely right.
All right, let's move on to the number three story of the morning. A really good piece here by Mika Solner and Brez on immigration and border security and the split among Democrats and how House Democrats are struggling to find their message on border security and immigration. Even as they push to win the House majority in November, a key issue in battleground states and in some of these really tight districts, and Democrats just haven't kind of found their way or how they're going to message on this.
Yeah, long kind of problem for House Democrats since at least the beginning of this Congress on the border. I will say this, you got to give Biden some credit here, right? Biden put some, and maybe Democrats will take his lead. He put some good messaging framework, I think effective perhaps messaging framework around the border issue last night, which is, you know, we need to do all these things. Republicans need to come along. And but listen, the House and the Senate Democratic caucuses are much more big tent than not, right? I mean, you have progressives ranging from, you know, the far left to the kind of the middle to the right of the Democratic caucus. They all find a way to get along. But I do think when we look back, one of the big failures, Anna, of this Congress is going to be that Democrats didn't figure out a way to deal with the border issue, at least rhetorically, until it was almost too late. You know what I mean? Like, they should have just said, we don't like what Trump did, but here's kind of what we think we should do. Hmm. And they never did that. And I think that will retrospectively turn into a problem, I think, for congressional Democrats in the election. Now, I have no idea who's going to win or not. But anyway, I think that's worth thinking about.
And something to watch going forward. Yeah, with that, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. It has been a week at Punchbowl News. Events in Atlanta. We had two special editions. Thank you for coming along on the ride with us. As always, if you like the Daily Punch, please tell your friends about it. Share it on social media. Tell Jake you like it. It's the best way for folks to find out about us. And if you want to go deeper on everything we talked about this morning and more, you can go to punchbowl.news. All it takes is an email. You get our free morning newsletter in your inbox before 6 a.m. Monday through Friday. Have a great day and stay safe, everybody.